message from Isaiah. Our sins are washed away by the Messiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And law-breaking, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Here's Vonda Bierman, He Chose Me.
The message touched your heart as a preacher made a call. You felt the urge to come as they sing, I surrender all. But a voice of doubt inside your heart said you had wandered much too far to ever ask for grace, and a tear ran down your face. But I choose you.
Messiah Chose You. That's the voice of Vonda Bierman from the year 2012, Pleasant Hill, Oregon. And he definitely chose you. He shed his blood on the tree at Calvary for our sins, for our iniquities. Yes, he died in that tree, and he rested in the grave 3 nights and 3 days for our iniquities, for our transgressions of his law that he gave to Moses. That is, the Son gave the law to Moses. Moses gave the law to the children of Israel, and we've been grafted into the good olive tree so that we, too, are a part of Yahweh's kingdom. Isaiah chapter 12, and in that day thou shalt say, O Yahweh, I will praise thee, though thou was angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, Yahweh is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yahovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation, or a better word, my deliverance. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation, and in that day shall you say, Praise Yahweh, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto Yahweh, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Pure One of Israel in the midst of thee. Yahweh shed his blood for our sins. Isaiah's message is for us. The assembly is laden with iniquity and has grievously departed from Yahweh's ways. There is still time to repent and return to the Eternal, but time is short. The Almighty's mercy is available, but if we do not seek his mercy quickly, his swift judgments are sure. Isaiah's prophetic message sounds much like the evangel of the New Testament, the so-called New Testament. There is much of the basic gospel message of repentance and condemnation of Israel's sins, which was the core message of the Messiah. Lambasting the false prophets and hypocritical leaders was a common theme of Isaiah and of our Messiah, Moshiach, Yahamashiach. Yahweh does exist. Oh, we see his creations all around. A singer from Portland, from Judson Baptist College in the Dalles, wrote, How can man believe in evolution when something so great has come to be? The scripture says that Yahusha did it all with his own hands, and that's the way it was meant to be. How can man believe in evolution? That was Steve West wrote that from the group Guiding Light back in the 1980s. Praise Yahweh! Praise Yahweh who brings down the mighty cities. Praise Yahweh. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who has instructed Yahweh? The nations are as a drop of a bucket. This is Isaiah 40. Nothing before him to whom all do you liken Yahweh. Lift up your eyes on high. And behold who has created these things. The Creator faints not and gives power to the faint. They that wait upon Yahweh shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Then the next chapter, Isaiah 41:22, Yahweh has the power to show us what shall happen thereafter, for he foretells the future. And we see these incidents coming to pass around us, around the world. I don't listen to the secular news that much, or even to the Christian news, because they tend to put the emphasis on fear. They want to put fear unto us, but I think Yahweh wants to bring us into freedom, yes, even to trusting in him. You know, we talk about faith, but I think sometimes we might mean trust, that we really trust him to deliver us, to protect us, and, you know, he's not like the genie in the bottle. I'm not trying to portray the wrong image or the wrong message there about the Messiah, but we trust him for our salvation. We trust that he did create the world, just like he said, and that he's going to come back in his power. Going to come back. Give esteem to Yahweh. Declare his praise. Psalm 43. I keep saying that. Isaiah 43. You are my witnesses that I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh, the pure, separated one, creator and king. Psalm 44, 6 through 8. To sum it up. I am the first and the last. There is no Elohim beside me. And later on in that 44th chapter, I am Yahweh that makes all things. And then the next chapter, Psalm 45, verse 5. I am Yahweh, there is none else. No Yahweh beside me. I make peace and create evil. Yahweh himself formed the earth, created it not in vain, but formed it to be inhabited. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. And then in Yahweh shall all Israel be justified. We'll be made right by the precious blood of the Messiah, Yahusha, the Messiah, the one who died on the tree, the one who rose from the grave after 3 nights and days. Isaiah 46, to whom will you liken me? Isaiah 46:9. I am Yahweh, there is none else, declaring the end from the beginning. I have spoken and will bring it to pass, So there he is again. The Son is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, telling us that he's foretelling the events that shall happen upon the earth. Some say it could be some. Most people say it's going to be very quick, very soon here, within our lifetime. Another in the next 20 years, it'll be ushering in the seventh millennium there, the 7,000th year, which is representative as the rest year. See Hebrews 4. Then we continue in Isaiah 50, 2-4. At my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Isaiah 66, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build to me? I have made all things. And then back to chapter 40, Isaiah 40, 1-11. This is a summary now. The message of the evangel, so-called gospel there. The message of the evangel. Comfort you, my people. Cry unto Jerusalem, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness. Prepare you the way of Yahweh. The esteem of Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Say unto the cities of Yehuda, behold your mighty one. Yahweh will come and feed his flock like a shepherd. Yes, my friend, my sistren, do you trust Yahweh or Yahusha today? Do you trust the Messiah? And so that's the gospel. The gospel that we need to call upon him. We need to repent. In chapter 1, repent, relieve the oppressed, and your scarlet sins shall be forgiven and made white like wool. Isaiah 31, turn you to him from whom Israel has greatly revolted. Isaiah 40 again, all flesh is grass and fades, but the word of Yahweh shall stand forever. You know, we often quote that in Hebrews there of what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the essence of things not seen. But another place it says that faith cometh by hearing the word. Faith is the word of Yahweh. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. So the word of Yahweh shall stand forever. And the word, it tells us in John, that the word is Yahusha, the Messiah. Isaiah 43, I am he that blots out your transgressions for mine own sake. Declare your sins that you may be made right, that you may be, uses the word justified or made right. Isaiah 44 again, Israel, don't forget, you are Yahweh's servant. I have blotted out your transgressions. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Chapter 51, listen to me, look to Yahweh and Abraham our father. Chapter 55, seek Yahweh while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his or her way and return to Yahweh, and he will have mercy and abundantly pardon. That was Isaiah 55, 6-9. Let me actually turn in the King James here, since I'm reading from the GiveShare website, giveshare.org, and under Bible study, number 143, Isaiah, and we're down to about page 3 on that. Sorry, I didn't tell you at the beginning. So once again, that reference there is Isaiah 55. Seek Yahweh, verse 6, seek Yahweh while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our mighty one, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field, yes, all the trees of the fields shall clap their hands, plural. And it makes it very interesting there. So I might as well finish. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to Yahweh for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And it goes into chapter 56 there. And noticing particularly to the sons of the stranger that join themselves to Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh, not to fight about it and to make excuses, but to be his servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my separated mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their offerings, their slaughter offerings shall be accepted upon my altar. For thine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Yahweh, the mighty one which gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. And verse 12, come you say, then I will fetch wine and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. This kind of sounds like a backslidden Protestant here as I finish that up. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundantly. I think that last verse there, Isaiah 56:12, represents the kind of person who kept the Sabbath at one time or another on the seventh day. But then he thought, well, I think the weather's better on the Sabbath, so I'll go boating, and I'll call Sunday the new Sabbath. Kind of a son of Constantine, if you will. Psalm 57, or there I go, Isaiah 57. I will dwell with those of a contrite and humble spirit, giving them peace. That's 57:15. For thus saith the high and pure one that inhabits eternity, whose name is pure, I will dwell in the high and separate place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Or contrite ones. I will not contend forever, neither will I always wrath, for the spirit shall fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of the covetous was I wrath, or angry, and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. Verse 21, there is no peace, saith Yahweh, to the wicked. Now, there's no rest for the wicked there in Isaiah 57. Next chapter, cry out, spare not, show my people their sins. And lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions, the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their mighty one. Yahweh, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching Yahweh. Isaiah 59, behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it can't save, neither is ear heavy that it can't hear, but your iniquities are separated between you and your mighty one, and your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood. Verse 4, none calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Well, that sure reminds me of an age recently here in the 1800s, and also in the 2000s, in the 2013. That reminds me an awfully lot of this time that the believers and the Christian people have wandered so far from their roots of believing in the scriptures, you know, and having faith in the word, faith in Yahweh's word, and having trust in his word. Psalm 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, show my people their sins. In chapter 66, I said Psalm again, I think, Isaiah 66, I will look to those of a poor and contrite spirit who tremble at my word. So we need to repent you might even need to fast there in Isaiah 58. Fasting is wickedness, is to no avail to you. If you fast to loose the bands of iniquity, to deal bread to the hungry, then Yahweh shall satisfy your soul in drought, and you will be a restorer of paths to dwell in. Isaiah 56 talks about the Sabbath there. And blessed is the man who keeps the Sabbath. I will give the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath an everlasting name. Strangers who keep the Sabbath will be joyful in Yahweh's house of prayer. Messianic prophecies in Isaiah chapter 7, chapter 9, 42, 50, 52, and 53. Okay, chapter 7. A virgin shall conceive, her son shall be called Emmanuel. That was 7:14. Chapter 9, people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. People that walked in darkness, and Zebulun and Naphtali have seen a great light. Chapter 9, verse 7, a child is born, a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, upon the Messiah's shoulder. He shall be called the mighty Yahweh, the Prince of Peace. The everlasting Father, the increase of his government shall have no end. And in chapter 42, Yahweh will magnify the law and make it honorable. Chapter 50, I gave my back to the smiters. So that reminds us of the time when Yahweh was being afflicted by his tormentors. Chapter 52, he shall be exalted. Many were astonished at his marred visage. He shall instruct kings. It says there in chapter 53, verse 3 of Isaiah, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Yahweh, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We're healed. We can be healed physically, and we certainly can be healed of our sins in a spiritual sense. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So that means that Yahweh, the Father, laid on the Messiah the iniquity or lawlessness, the law-breaking of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, as he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yahweh, the Father, to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. So that means that by the Messiah, by Yahusha, shall he justify many. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Talks about the punishment of Israel. Isaiah chapter 1:25, in chapter 1, I will purge away the dross, that they forsake Yahweh. They that forsake Yahweh shall be consumed. I will restore you as the faithful city of righteousness. And chapter 4, in that day those left shall be separate. They shall be pure. When Yahweh shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, there shall be a tabernacle for rest and refuge. Isaiah 5, Yahweh is angry with his people and will smite them. A city shall be wasted without inhabited, and land desolate. Chapter 9, the pride of Israel is trying to rebuild from Yahweh's punishment, not turning to him that smites them. Therefore Yahweh will cut off Israel head and tail in one day. Ephraim in chapter 28. Ephraim is a nation of drunkards. Their pride and glorious beauty is a fading flower. They shall be cast down and only a residue remain. Chapter 30, verse 12. Because you despise his word, your breaking shall come suddenly at an instant. Like a potter's vessel, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. Talks about desolation, famine, and the sword has come upon you as a result of our transgressions and the fury of Yahweh, that he had to have justice. And of course, we are saved, set apart by Yahweh's Son, the Messiah. Chapter 64 says that we have sinned and we are consumed for our iniquities. In 65, you shall be slaughtered, leaving your name a curse. Then a summary is given about captivity, the sins of Israel, the false prophets, false feasts, false worship. That would be in Isaiah 1:11. Yahweh does not want the offerings of this sinful people. Your new moon, Sabbaths, and feasts, my soul hates, Yahweh says. I will not listen to your prayers, for your hands are full of blood. Their drunken feasts have music, but no consideration of Yahweh, no consideration for his word, for his commandments, statutes, and judgments. Also talk about the false leaders, about idolatry, which one of the two, other than the Sabbath keeping, was one of the two greatest sins of Israel, and to this day still is, idolatry. In Isaiah 2:5, Yahweh has forsaken Jacob because there is a following of Eastern religions. There always has been. They are full of idols of silver and gold. They worship the works of their hands. And Yahweh judges the world. The day of Yahweh, chapter 2 of Isaiah. The day of Yahweh shall bring loftiness of man low. They shall crawl into caves when he arises to shake terribly the earth and cast their idols of silver and gold to the moles and bats. Moles, M-O-L-E-S. And the day of Yahweh is destruction from the Almighty upon sinners. Yahweh will punish the world for its iniquity, cause arrogancy of the proud to cease. He'll punish in the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Yahweh will do this strange work, his strange act. He comes with anger and indignation. His tongue is a devouring fire. Woe to them that go to Egypt for help. Now this is Isaiah 31. Those that trust in horsemen and chariots, looking not, you know, trusting in the Republican Party. Well, the Democrats are worse, but, well, wait a minute, if you're a Democrat, I didn't mean that. Trust in horsemen and chariots, looking not to the pure one of Israel. He will rise against evildoers. Yahweh of hosts shall come down to fight for Zion and defend and deliver Jerusalem. Isaiah 34, Yahweh's sword shall come down on Edom or Edomia. A great slaughter, the day of Yahweh's vengeance, the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. The land shall become burning pitch. From generation to generation it shall lie waste, a habitation of owls and dragons, wild beasts of the desert. Not one of the words of Yahweh's book shall fail. Yahweh will go forth as a mighty man, a man of war. There is no intercessor for Yahweh's truth. Chapter 59. The day of vengeance, chapter 61 of Isaiah. Yahweh treads the winepress alone in his fury in the day of his vengeance. We also see that in the book of John. Oh, that you would rent the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Isaiah 24, 1 through 6, Yahweh is going to make the earth waste and spoil, defiled, because they have transgressed his laws, broken the covenant. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. Only a residue of the people shall be left. The highways will be lay waste. The earth mourns and languishes because they have broken the covenant. The people shall be as thorns cut up, burned in the fire. The pestilence, the heavenly signs, the stars shall not give light, the sun darken, no moonlight. Yahweh will shake the heavens and the earth in his fierce wrath. The moon will be confounded and sun ashamed. In 24:23, the light of the moon shall be as the sun. The sun sevenfold. And that's in chapter 30. The heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. All their host shall fall down as leaves. The earthquakes there in 13:13. The foundations of the earth do shake. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. Some say that there's already signs of that happening. Then Assyria, Babylon, Egypt, Tyre, Tarshish, that's all contained there in the book of Isaiah. The destruction of the wicked, chapter 51. Heaven shall vanish like smoke, an old garment. Sinners shall die. The destruction of the beast and Satan, or Hasatan. And then, mercy in the midst of judgment, a place of safety. Moab shall hide the outcasts, being a covert to them from the face of the spoiler. Isaiah 26, come, my people, enter into your chambers until the indignation be overpassed. Chapter 33:15, he that walks righteously despises gain of oppressions, shakes his hands from bribes, shuts his eyes from seeing evil, shall dwell on high. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Yahweh is our judge, lawgiver, king. He will save us. That was Isaiah 33:15-22. In Isaiah 43, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, for my people to drink, and they shall show forth my praise. Listen, you people, with Yahweh's law in your heart. Fear not the reproach of men, for my salvation shall abide forever. That's found in Isaiah 51, verse 6. We hear about the restoration of Israel and their second exodus. In Isaiah 6, 8, 10, 11, 12, 14, 17, all the way through. For example, in Isaiah 27, verse 12, Israel shall be gathered one by one. Those ready to perish in Assyria and outcasts in Egypt shall praise Yahweh in his separated mountain at Jerusalem. At the day of the great trump, Israel shall be regathered. In 35, a highway called the Way of Pureness, not for the unclean, but for wayfaring men who will not err therein. The ransomed of Yahweh shall return and come to Zion with songs of joy and gladness. I have taken you from the ends of the earth. You're my servant. I have chosen you. I'll bring my seed from the east, west, north, and south. From the ends of the earth, the blind people shall have eyes to see. Go forth from Babylon with singing. Yahweh will lead Israel through the desert and cause water to flow out of the rock. Say to the prisoners, go forth, and they shall come from far, from north and west. Chapter 51, therefore the redeemed of Yahweh shall return and come with singing unto Zion with everlasting joy. 51:22, fury which had been on Israel shall now be on those that afflicted her. 52, depart, touch no unclean thing, Yahweh shall go before thee. 54, thy maker is thine husband, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but great mercies will I gather thee. 56, Yahweh gathers the outcast of Israel. 61, and this could represent John the Baptist, he has sent me to preach good tidings, to proclaim liberty to the captives, open the prison to them that are bound. It would more accurately apply to Yahusha the Messiah. He preached the good tidings. He preached on the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew 5. He proclaimed liberty to the captives and opened the prison to those that are bound. And we are bound in prison in our sins if we have not been forgiven by the Messiah, and if we haven't repented, if we're still on the same course, headed down, and I praise Yahweh that he has saved me from the fires of hell by his blood that he shed on the tree at Calvary about 2,000 years ago. Praise him for, saving me from that hell, from that destruction, from separation from the Father. Some say that that is hell, separation from the Father. Well, if that were true, then, I think a lot of men and women would be happy today just to watch football and, What do they need him for? Yeah, but it wouldn't be that simple. Hell would be well, everything the Word says it is. Luke 13, for example, tells us a little bit about it. Isaiah 66, your brethren shall be brought to Jerusalem for an offering. They shall be priests and Levites. And there's good news for the saved, the believers in eternity. In Isaiah 26, the dead of Yahweh shall arise and sing praises. So let's get that here in my dusty, trusty King James. Back to Isaiah 26, about 16 now. Okay, that's fine with me. Yahweh, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like a woman with child that draws near the time of her delivery is in pain and cries out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Yahweh. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So we talked about the resurrection there, also in Daniel, in 12th chapter. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, Yahweh comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the land for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. So I was reading there the end of Isaiah 26, and he's going to make an everlasting covenant with them, with his chosen ones, those that he has called, elect, and chosen. If we read the book of the Revelation, we see the good, bad, and the no. We see the future in the book of the Revelation and in Daniel. I will pour out my spirit and blessings on your seed, our Almighty says. In Isaiah, in 49, he says, in a day of salvation, I will preserve you for a covenant to establish the earth. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the free, life-giving waters, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. That's chapter 55. In 59 it says, my covenant with them is confirmed by my spirit, putting lasting words in their mouth. And in the millennium, then you go all the way through Isaiah once again, and in chapter 2, for example, a synopsis there. In the last days, Yahweh's kingdom shall be established in Jerusalem. All nations shall flow unto it. And the law shall go forth from Zion, and there shall be no more war. So what about that, the preachers say, that the law was done away with? Why is there still, in chapter 2 of Isaiah, looking to the millennium, why is there still law? Why is there a lawgiver? Well, because his law is eternal. It's consistent. It's the standard. And we see that specifically in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, Psalm 19, Psalm 119 as well, 19 and also chapter 119. We see it all the way through the book of Psalms. We see it in Paul's writings in Romans 7 and 8. And in fact, talk about law in the New Testament. You know, it said there's 619 laws in the older scriptures, but in the newer scriptures, how many? Well, I've been given liberty to keep all of those 1,050 laws in the New Testament. If you look in Dake's annotated reference, that's Dake's, D-A-K-E, there's 1,050 laws enumerated in the New Testament. A lot of do's and do nots. But here's a good branch, Isaiah 11. The branch of Jesse shall judge the poor and meek of the earth. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh. The wolf shall lie down with a lamb. That's the wolf shall lie down with a lamb. The Gentiles shall seek him. His rest shall be magnificent. Yahweh shall reign in Zion. He'll make a feast of wines well refined. He'll destroy the veil over all nations and wipe away all tears. Yes, there's still going to be crying, but he'll wipe the tears away, at least symbolically, but if not literally. Isaiah 26, when his judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world shall learn righteousness. Israel shall blossom and bud, filling the world with fruit. That's chapter 27. He shall, in verse 6, he will cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. And then verse 11, when the boughs thereof are withered, they'll be broken off. The women come, set them on fire, for it's a people of no understanding. Therefore, he has made them. Therefore, he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. We also need to balance that and harmonize that with the other scriptures of mercy. In, for example, Isaiah 26, 9, I believe, at least that's a parallel reference, 26, 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall beat off from the channel of the river, or shall beat from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt. You shall be gathered one by one, you children of Israel, O children. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship, or rather shall praise Yahweh in the separated mountain at Jerusalem. Yes, that was chapter 27. Israel shall blossom and bud. And then we had in the previous chapter, when his judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants shall learn righteousness. His judgments are in the earth. Yes, even his righteous judgments that are given to us in Exodus chapter 1, Exodus 21, 22, and 23, which includes the feast days, his three big annual feasts, and obviously all seven of them. And they're going to be filled full and fulfilled and completely, fulfilled. They'll be carried out, especially that Feast of Trumpets. That last trumpet shall be blown there. It tells us in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. And Yahweh's going to come back quickly in the air for his people. First the dead in Messiah shall rise, and then we which will remain and are alive shall be caught up together with them in the cloud and come down into New Jerusalem. But that's a little ways off yet. Isaiah 32, a king shall reign in righteousness, princes rule in judgment. My people shall dwell in peaceful habitation, sure dwellings, quiet resting places. They shall build up the old wastes and repair the waste cities. Yeah, it says that. Yes, Isaiah 61:4. They shall build up the old wastes, repair the waste cities. Jerusalem shall be praise in the earth. Jerusalem, a rejoicing, voice of weeping no longer shall be heard. Permanent houses and vineyards, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my separated mountain. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 65. There will be a universal education. In chapter 11, the branch of Jesse shall judge the poor and meek of the earth. Chapter 24, Yahweh shall reign in Zion. Yahweh will destroy the veil over all nations. When his judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. We cover that in 26. 29, the deaf shall hear the words of the book. The blind shall see. They that err shall understand and learn doctrine. I think we did that one. You shall see your teachers. You will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the left or right. That's chapter 30. A man shall be a hiding place from the wind. The eyes of them that see shall not be dim. The heart of the rash shall understand knowledge. Those that stammer shall speak plainly. Oh, good. And a vile person shall no more be called liberal, because the Spirit shall be poured upon us from on high, the Spirit of Yahweh. The eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the tongue of the dumb will sing. And in Isaiah 52, they'll sing, "How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good tidings." They'll see eye to eye, "All the children shall be taught of Yahweh. As the rain waters the earth, so shall his word accomplish its purpose." It'll accomplish his purpose. His word is life. Have you received Yahweh's word in your heart and his new covenant? Deuteronomy 8, Ezekiel 36, 26, Hebrews 8, Hebrews 10. It's all line upon line, here a little, there a little. Some will fall backwards and stumble upon the word of Yahweh because, you know, I always want to come up with some doubt and believe their doubts instead of doubting doubts. They want to believe the doubts that keep coming to their mind. There's rebelliousness that we just want to do it our way instead of Yahweh's way. And you know, they say, "Well, where is he? Where is he?" Well, he's not there at you know, the pull of the cord and ring the bell, you know, and he's, "Oh, here I am. What are you like? I'm just a servant, just waiting on you." No, he will put on those garments to serve us and sit down at that great supper, but he's not going to there to answer our every little whimper, is he? And I've got a cut, or I have this bad hip joint. I don't want to go to the doctor and have that done. Well, then the Christian tells us, "We'll go to the doctor, and Yahweh will work through him and share his glory with him." But no, Isaiah says that he will not share his esteem with anybody. That's in Isaiah 42:8 and 48:11. So we're taking a quick trail over there. 42:8 says what I said. "I am Yahweh, that is my name," he is saying, "and my esteem will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." And then 48:11 is going to be a parallel reference. "For my own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it." He's going to refine his children. "For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my esteem unto another." There's many, many references that you know, Yahweh wants us to do good works. And Ephesians 2:10, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created unto Messiah, unto good works." Yes, but it's not to bring esteem to us, that we're supposed to proclaim the esteem of Yahweh when he works through us and such great things happen. And you know, taking care of people and all that. We don't have to go out and build the mansions for the sinners and give away freebies and just smile and say, "See, I'm saved." No, we need to proclaim the death, burial, and the resurrection of Yahushua the Messiah and make that very, very clear. Also, Titus 1:16 is another reference there. We're 45 minutes into the webcast so far. Titus chapter 1. I thank you for joining us on YahvehYahweh.name. And so I'll probably read a little bit more than that, but chapter 1. "This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, they that may be found, that they may be sound," S-O-U-N-D, "sound in the faith," or firm in the faith, "not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men." We're not talking about Yahweh's Ten Commandments or his statutes of judgment, but the commandments of men, the Talmud, the Kabbalah, the all these Christian commandments that are made up here, you know, that, you know, you got to go to summer camp or something. There's no commandment that says that. "The commandments of men, that they turn from the truth unto the pure. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know him, but in works They deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. That's found there in the New Testament, and right before Hebrews, in the book of Titus, T-I-T-U-S, in chapter 1, verse 16, the last verse of Titus 1. They profess that they know Yahweh, but in works they deny him. So it's possible to say that I know Yahweh. I know Yahusha. I know all kinds of Hebrew. I've been to Hebrew classes, and I know all that, but in works I deny him. I don't actually obey his commandments, statutes, and judgments. Then I'm denying him. And I'm abominable and disobedient and reprobate. It's said there. And how much more exhortation could I give? I don't think you could get too much heavier than that, but some have done a lot better. We can go through Revelation 1, chapter 4, 5, 11, Hebrews, and so on. But we don't want to be enticed away from Yahweh's way. We want to have liberty, the power to do what we ought. Have liberty in Yahweh. Galatians chapter 5. So all Israel is going to be restored. You shall be named priests and ministers of Yahweh. Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. All the children shall be taught of Yahweh. They will declare his esteem among his kavod among the Gentiles. Excuse me, I've been giving the wrong Hebrew word there. It's kabod. K-A-B-O-D-E, I think is how you spell it. But anyway, it's a B instead of a V. Kabod is the word for esteem. Of course, that is in the book of Isaiah. So that probably is the Hebrew word, and the number for it, for kabod, is 3519. K-A-B-O-D-E. And then there's some other Hebrew words, too. If you look up the pagan word glory, G-L-O-R-Y. Agriculture will be restored. I think we read many of that, but many scriptures, but Isaiah 32 and 35. The wilderness shall be a plentiful field, and the fruitful field a forest. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Gentiles shall be saved. In Isaiah 11, Jesse's branch shall rule the earth. Isaiah 42, I have put my spirit upon my servant. So the Father apparently is speaking here about the Messiah. I have put my spirit upon my servant. He shall bring judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not fail till he has set judgment in the earth. The isles shall wait for his law. He is a light to the Gentiles, to open eyes of the blind and free prisoners. I'll give you for a light. The Gentiles, salvation to the end of the earth. Gentiles will be the servants of Israel. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 60. Gentiles shall come to thy light. The wealth of the Gentiles will be converted to Israel. The wealth of the Gentiles shall be converted to Israel. The Gentiles shall bow themselves before thee. Strangers shall feed your flocks. In other words, Gentiles shall feed your flocks, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. In Isaiah 65 and 66. 66, from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to praise before Yahweh. Well, it's been a beautiful time of reading through the book of Isaiah and getting together with you here on EyahYahweh.name. I'm Stefan Yah. If you have any questions, the email address is StefanYah@YahweHYahweh.name. And thanks to the blood of Messiah, thanks to the resurrection of Messiah that gives us eternal life, but thanks to his blood for forgiving us of a mighty great debt that we owed. He paid a debt that he did not owe, but we owed a debt that we could not pay. We needed the Messiah. And just look at so far, at everything he has given us, the beauty around us, the creations, the wonderful people, great believers, great fellowship. Sometimes it's few and far between there, but we've managed to find one another from time to time. And so be encouraged. in the Word of Yahweh, and in the fellowship of His believers today. Okay? And we'll talk to you again. Shalom.
I've waited so long to see Him. Looking in the air, His face I seek. I long to touch His brow, walking by His side and sitting at His feet.
I want to fly, just fly, Lord, and die. I've waited to fly to heaven with Him up in the sky. Just fly, Lord, and die. All the brothers pass by to heaven with Him.
I sit and dream of heaven. There's no crying there, God's love surrounds. Music flows sweet like honey. Songs of angels praise His name out loud.